What's going to happen next is rather exciting indeed. We're going to hear from two fantastic young people tonight, Rowan and Grace. They are wonderful. They have got a huge heart for Jesus, and I've already heard from each of them what they're going to be bringing tonight, and it's just such a great message for us as a church. So Rowan's actually going to come up first, but as a way of encouraging both Rowan and Grace, can we give them a very big round of applause and cheer? Over to you.
So yeah, as Liam said, I'm Rowan, and I'm part of Define Youth, Older Youth. Well done, guys. And it's great to be with you this evening. So tonight we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 23. Then Jesus said to the host, "When you give a lunch or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to those who he had invited, 'Come, for now everything is ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still, another said, 'I just got married, so I cannot come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" So things are nearly back to normal. Restrictions are being lifted and the final steps are beginning to happen. As things are looking up, we've now got the opportunity to invite people into our homes again and to share our faith over a meal. To me, this is a challenging yet exciting opportunity. I want to start by asking you all a question. Have you ever invited someone to church? Perhaps to find a kids' group, a cluster meeting, or a Sunday service. For me, I really struggle with this. I never truly feel I have the courage to do it. A few years ago, a week prior to an Alpha course, I was being encouraged to invite someone along. So I thought about it, I had one person in mind who I could ask. Now later that day, I wrote it down, trying to keep myself organized. I planned to ask them the following day. The following day came, the perfect opportunity was there, and it passed. I'd missed the opportunity. The same thing happened the next day. Now this cycle repeated day after day after day, and the silent day passed. Reflecting back on it now, I can see I was caught up in the worries. I never asked my friend to church. Sound familiar to anyone? Questions run through our head. How do I ask them? Won't I look stupid? And what if they say no? So looking back at the passage, the master is already ahead of us. He took the step to invite people to his party. We can imagine his excitement. He's been planning the party for weeks, and he's ready for people to come. Putting it into context, in Roman times, parties were all the rage. Large gatherings to show status and power within the society. There would have been high-class entertainment and lots of food and wine. Then the bad news comes. The servants report back. They had all made excuses. After all the time, planning, and commitment, the master had been let down by the people who he cared for. The master had opened his home to many people and had all turned him away. Thinking back to when we've invited people to church, the moment we are rejected, it feels so hard. From the people we invite, we hear similar excuses roll in. "I have got an urgent deadline. I can't come. There isn't time. I don't have the energy. Sorry." Time and time again, our question fails to no prevail. We feel defeated and angry that no one's taking up our offer. We hide away from the rejection. we fear to take the step to ask people to church because we're caught up with the consequences. This is the challenge that we all face, but it is not the end of the road. Looking back to the master's reaction, he tells the servants, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town. After his anger, he did not give up. He took a junction to a better ending. The parable goes on to explain how the situation is improving. His party is beginning to grow. Yet there is still room, and the master still does not give in. He wants his house full of people. By looking at the master, we can see how we should respond. Do not give up on inviting people to church. Find new ways of asking them. Have friends keep us accountable to ask others. Open up that conversation and do not just write it down day after day. Finally, in the passage, there are three main personas. We have the master and his guests, but the person who stands out to me most is the servant. Servant in this parable can be so easily overlooked. We can learn a lot from them. Throughout the passage, we never hear their perspective. The servants would have been setting up the party, preparing food, organising entertainment, and last of all, gathering the guests. It is fair to say they are working tirelessly to match the master's excitement. They are the ones who felt the guest rejection firsthand. Yet, they still go out and invite people because they want to serve their master. Even in exhaustion, they went out. The key message to take away from this is not to give up. Do not give up on inviting people to church. If we want to grow in our faith, then we should do all we can to live like the servant, and we will see the kingdom of God in our communities. Before I hand over to Grace, I want to leave us on a verse. This verse really gives me the motivation to live like the servant. Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Thank you.
Hello, so I'm Grace, as Liam said, also part of Define Older Youth, and I'm in year 12 at High Stores. And so I want to just carry on a bit from what Rowan said about inviting people into kind of God's kingdom and how we can do that, but kind of address kind of what mindset we come to that with. So I'd love to start with a story. A few weeks ago, I was out for a lovely meal with my family to celebrate my belated granddad's birthday. And we were sat eating our meal, and my very cute seven-year-old cousin decided to show us his puppy dog eye impression. Sorry, can't replicate it. But he was showing us how he could win over my uncle, that like punishment weren't an issue, this would work, he'd get away with everything. And that we just watched as my uncle kind of gave in. And for me, it really kind of represented how we kind of go about things. We love the idea of doing something, but kind of just gaining the benefit from it, and how we even do that when inviting people to church. I think we do it with our friends. I don't know about you, but I definitely hang out with the people that add to my life or make me feel good or just make me feel like my life is better when I'm with them. Or even in our faith, maybe you invite someone to church, but you do it because it'll maybe look good, or maybe them people at church will like me more. Or even when we come to church, do we come with the expectation of what we want from God? Is it something that we come with a sense that we want, or we want a kind of sign or a reason to come? And I think this is something we all struggle with, and especially myself. And I think it's really clear within this banquet. We see in the banquet that there are two types of guests, that the banquet master invites both of them. So there's the first set of guests that I see, and these are the people that they have a motive to gain from. They have money, they can clearly plan weddings, buy cattle, and they most likely in that kind of society had a place. So inviting them was good. The master probably gained some kind of financial benefit maybe, or company, conversations, if they're like anything like today, came with some flowers and some chocolates when they arrived. And they were basically just really beneficial to be around, maybe our friends in our day. And for them, it was easy to invite them. Inviting them to church, for example, would be nice. It made you look good, you probably look better at church, probably add to your status. But actually, we shouldn't really come like that. There is still the second set of guests. These represent, in the story, the people that weren't directly part of society. In the story, they would have been out of place, not really seen as kind of welcomed. They would definitely would have been outcasts. And actually, they're the people that maybe when we invite to church, we ask questions like, would these people look right in my church group? Would these people benefit my image at church? Would they even make me feel like a good Christian? But actually, God wants us to invite both, as the master invites both sets of people to his banquet and wants them both to come. So are we called to? Yes, we should come to the party and invite those people that we love hanging out with, our friends that we really want to come to church. But also, what about the other people? What about that mindset of benefits? No, we should be inviting everybody. Yes, those lovely people we hang out with, but what about that person at work that maybe doesn't fit in, or that person in your friendship group that you just don't really like talking to? For me, it's all about that. Whether they benefit us or not, whether they make us look good or not, or whether we even want to or not, God calls us to invite everyone into his kingdom. Jesus wanted everyone there, everyone in heaven, everyone at the banquet, and actually that's what we're called to do. We're called to leave our own benefits behind, our own selfish desires behind, and actually called to invite everybody. And because at the end of the day, we are all in need of Jesus. So I would love to leave you guys with a question about how maybe all of us, including myself, can kind of look into those relationships. Where do we look and see those people that we're not inviting to church, or those relationships that are just poorly based on benefit, and how can we support those people in a different way? So thank you.
I'm just going to raise the average age considerably now. I thought there's too many young people here. We need to get some old people out. Let's give these guys a round of applause. That is absolutely amazing. Absolutely fantastic. Absolutely amazing. You are, your parents are here, aren't they? Amazing, amazing job. You are so confident. I was not that confident at all when I was your age. I was a mess. You guys are amazing. So challenging. So it's just brilliant to hear your hearts. And I got the chat with Liam to listen to these guys and to kind of see what it was they were thinking through. I thought it was absolutely amazing. There's not really anything I want to add to that, because you guys have done the most amazing job. As you guys were sharing tonight, a story came to mind about invitations. And this happened to my wife and I in 2013. We were invited to the Fellows Feast at St. John's College in Cambridge. Thank you. Yeah, it was a bit of a fancy do. And there was quite a strict dress code. They had to wear a tuxedo. Now, I'd bought a tuxedo from Oxfam several years before. And being the last-minute kind of guy, I hadn't really checked the tuxedo to see whether it would still fit. And so the day of the Fellows Feast. Now, a Fellows Feast is that in one of these kind of fancy colleges, if you do a PhD and they like you and you're super smart, they make you a fellow. And I'd been invited by a guy at our time in the church who lived in Cambridge for a while, who was the youngest fellow of St. John's College. And he'd done a very smart guy and had invented some very clever things that was bought up by a very large tech company. If you have a certain phone designed in California, made in China, then that's the kind of vibe. Super smart guy. And one day he said, would you like to come along? So we decided to go. And so the day of the party, the day of the feast, I'm putting on my tuxedo. The jacket and the suit don't match. That's the first thing I noticed. I noticed the trousers were a little tight. So they're a little tighter than the time I'd worn them about 5 years before. And then to my horror, I looked straight ahead and thought, I think if I don't eat any food or I don't eat a lot of food, I think I'm going to get away with this. I don't think I'm going to embarrass myself. But then I turned and looked in the mirror and realized that they were flared. And I looked in the label and it said, made in West Germany. Now, I'm pretty sure the Berlin Wall came down in 1989, is that right? So goodness knows how old they were. So I felt on a little bit of a back foot, folks, because I've been invited to a Fellows Feast. I went to Hull University. There was no Fellows Feasts at Hull University. And I'm from a little town in the West Midlands called Aldridge, and there were certainly, folks, no Fellows Feasts in the part of the West Midlands that I came from. So I'm on a back foot. My wife was very confident about these things, as she always is. But I thought, crikey, I'm going to a Fellows Feast looking like John Travolta. We arrived, it was all terribly dark, and it was all candlelit, and then some very high-powered people with Nobel Prizes, gave various speeches, and we had a seven-course meal. I don't know if you had a seven-course meal, but anyway, it's quite something to behold. Between every course, a choir would come out and sing something in Latin. It was a real do, I have to say. I had this overwhelming sense the whole time I don't belong. Have you ever had that? You've been in a moment and you just think, I don't belong here. Everybody else does belong here. I sat next to a guy who was a mathematician, an expert in his field. Very hard to talk to. What do you talk to? Sorry, Ben, we talked about maths tonight. In those moments where you just look around the room and think everybody else, or you look on Instagram, perhaps when you're a bit bored and you're feeling slightly down, and then you look at everybody else's life and think, theirs is so much better than mine. I sometimes do. It's an amazing passage today Jesus tells us, doesn't he, of this great banquet. And it's a foretaste, Scripture tells us, of the banquet that is to come. The feast, the fellow's feast. It's not really a fellow's feast, but it's a feast. And the people that get the invitation don't make it. They get distracted, or they don't turn up. And these guys have beautifully said, the servant, fantastic point, Rowan. I've not seen it like that. Really great point, sends out the servant to go and gather in others. And then it's still places. And they send in all the people that don't belong. Me. You. And like that fellow's feast, the reason that we were there is not because I could participate in the conversation around quantum physics or deep maths, because I couldn't. I was there because I was invited. And that's what struck me. I was there the same as everybody else. I was invited. We've actually got the invitation. We put it in a frame and stuck it on the wall because it was such a weird experience. But I think the Holy Spirit taught me something. I was there on the power of the invitation. Friends, as an old man, I want to share this with you today, that we are here because we're invited by the Lord. That you and I receive His grace, His forgiveness. That we are here not because we're better than anybody else. Or I love that question about do our friends make us look good? I thought it was a brilliant analogy, Grace. Absolutely amazing. We're here because God invites us into His presence. And the only way that we can come into His presence is through Jesus. Accepting Jesus' blood, accepting Jesus' forgiveness in our lives. And then, as these guys have said, it's from that place, they've said it's much better than I can say, is that we go out and extend that invitation to others.